The Big Red Couch, a podcast about making role-playing games. A group of GMs and players draw ideas from the mystery box and bring their game pitches to you. In which our heroes draw a card.
Welcome, listener, to Big Red Couch, drawing number 18. Greg has already done the mixing of the cards.
Are you ready to draw a card?
Okay.
Mediated by the spirit realm, Kevin draws a card.
The Graboids take Manhattan.
I was wondering if it was one of yours.
Fairly sure it's one of Ben's.
The Graboids take Manhattan.
Oh, we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Indeed. Bye.
See you.
Some days later.
At which point I hit the button and everybody shuts the fuck up. Okay.
Yeah, wait, 2 seconds. For the love of Mike.
It's right up there with your mum saying, can somebody give me a hand with this? Waiting 3 seconds. Oh, it's okay. I've done it myself. The urge to call back. Well, then it can't have been very fucking difficult, can it?
Neurons had started firing.
Essentially, you cannot get off the couch
fast
before the thing
help.
Was done. Why did you need help with it? What was it? Particularly dense fairy cake?
I bet you'll be upset you didn't get to help with it.
Indeed.
If that turns out.
I don't know. I'm not sure I've ever tasted fairy cake, but yeah, I wasn't amazed by those donuts.
Fairy cake is just like cupcake mixture that somebody's cut the top off and made wings. And
oh.
Yes. Mm. You've been lied to your entire life.
So they look like they're spacecraft from some show.
Yeah.
I don't know which show it is, but I do vaguely remember some show with spacecraft with bits.
That doesn't really narrow it down.
Yeah. I think I vaguely remember there's a Terran Trade Authority craft that's kind of a disc with...
Yes! Terran Trade Authority, because I was looking up that.
Yeah.
The RPG did come out.
Huh.
You're shitting me.
I'm not.
The world would be extremely interesting. I don't know what you'd do, because I had this impression everything would be... My mental images, everything is entirely static, and the scale is vast, and if there are people, they are tiny.
Well, yes, but from memory, they had set it up... In fact, yeah, people should check the show notes, but... Because I did them.
You did. It was a Herculean effort.
Indeed.
Says the person who edited the damn thing.
My version of all more typing.
Probably.
Now, I've done a little bit of editing. You used 3 buttons.
Repeatedly.
Mm. They did an RPG. I think it was set because the original Star Wreck thing was... Or Star Wreck Terran Trade Authority ships was 2000 to 2100.
Yeah.
So they set this 2100 to 2200.
Okay, cool.
Nice.
So all of the Terran Trade Authority stuff was setting up for this thing.
And the war between Proxima Centauri and
I'm assuming that happened.
That had happened, yeah.
That had happened. Space Wreck, I think, was one of my favourite of that, just from the fact that they had these little stories about the ships, and the military one didn't grab me so much.
The one I had was sort of just a combination of different sort of things. It had a section for basically history, and it had a section for unknown objects.
Oh, yeah.
Which is
the 6 unknown objects.
At the end, yeah. And some of them were
tiny, and some of them were
vast.
Yeah, the big dumb object, which is an actual thing in science fiction.
A monolith, basically.
Yeah.
It's a trope? Sort of.
A trope is a good one, yeah. Mm. Was somebody talking about this on at a panel at Worldcon in Melbourne at one point. The big dumb objects. So things like Rama from Rendezvous with Rama. Because the dumb object doesn't actually have to be stupid. It's just incomprehensible.
As far as you're concerned, it's a dumb object because you cannot find the on button.
Oh, it doesn't interact with you at all. I mean, a planet, effectively. Bigger big dumb objects you can get.
Probably the biggest big dumb object is from a story, could have been a Ballard, I'll have to look it up and get back to you, report on an unidentified space station.
Mm-hmm.
It is, I think, almost by definition, the biggest big dumb object story you could tell, because
it's... Is this the transit lounge that's technically bigger than the universe?
Yeah. Right. Every time they explore this, it's a ship, spaceship caught in a storm, they find a station to dock there, and it's clearly just a transit station or something, and then they explore, and they just keep revising the estimate of how big this thing is up and up and up.
Right.
Until they come to, this is bigger than the universe.
Hmm. That's a little bit House of Leaves in space, but...
kind of.
Not quite as creepy. It's not like it shifts while you're in there. It's just
you
have to revise just how much of the ugly carpet tiles they had to buy.
There is more linoleum in the space station than there is matter in the universe.
Yeah.
Arg.
It's up there with some of the calculations that people have done for Kerbal Space Program of, you know, what would it take to get an object up to light speed? And sort of in Kerbal Space Program and working on, okay, using these engines, you would need this number of engines, you would need this number of parts, you would need this amount of fuel.
Has anyone done it with the little tiny mouse engines?
You can't. The game doesn't
allow you to get up to light speed on mouse engines, right?
I think you would run into the Space Kraken, because when you start going fast enough in that game, and we're talking ludicrously fast, the physics engine starts to break down.
Right.
But I think somebody was figuring out the numbers of getting up to light speed and came to the conclusion that essentially you would need an informational storage capacity roughly equal to the moon.
Yeah. You the number of objects in the game would exceed...
yeah, would exceed the functional limits of all the computing power that there has ever been just to keep track of them.
Yeah. I think I saw a video about what the calculations you would... the amount of thrust and so forth you'll need to deorbit one of the planets.
Yes. Yes, how would you deorbit Mun?
You can't, because there on rails, but if they weren't...
Indeed.
So people are having way too much fun with this shit, trying just calculating the skyscraper of rockets and propellant that you would need to change the direction of the smallest moon. Or something like that. It was...
Minimus.
Mm.
Even using some of the infinite fuel hacks,
yeah,
the light speed one was still... Nope.
Nope. Yeah.
Yes, we have taken our maths from Einstein and we're using it. Thank you very much. Anyway, so, are we here for a purpose or are we just going to keep recording ourselves?
Hello, listener, and welcome to the Big Red Couch. Today on the mic we have
Ben,
Tonya,
Kev,
and Craig. And our topic for today is entirely Ben's fault.
And we want to get that in first.
Yeah, that's important.
Hear that, folks? I'm important.
Yes, Ben is important.
Important or imported?
I actually am entirely local.
That's true, actually you are.
Oh, you're a New Plymouth boy.
I was exiled there for, you know, 15
years. Okay,
you don't
count that part.
That doesn't count. That was you're a transportee against your will.
Fair indeed.
Anyway, the topic is the Graboids Take Manhattan.
Dum, dum, dum!
Yeah, that would be spitballing and chucking out an idea on the forums when...
We had no ideas.
When we had no ideas. And we were not vetting them for any level of quality or usability.
We've done quite well out of doing that, though.
Yeah, yeah.
There's been a few of the man-what ideas that have really worked.
Yep.
I suspect this is not going to be one of them.
Well, yeah, our glorious crusade had to come to an end at some point.
Your glorious crusade? I've got a fine idea. Yeah.
That is
mine's awesome and cultural.
Yeah, that is yet to be determined.
Define your terms, Craig. Indeed. Go on.
My terms defy definition.
He's looking windswept and looking off into the horizon like one of those very structuralist Russian hero posters.
You're saying I've got a big chin?
I'm saying that if I were going to put you on one of those posters, you would have a big chin.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of de rigueur, isn't it?
Mm, except Russian.
Anyway, so I have an idea. Tonya, from the look of the notes I can see from here, has an idea.
I defy you to read my handwriting.
Ben has apparently sunk his strange torpedo.
I have a plethora of excuses.
Ben has a plethora of excuses. And Kev is in the kind of interesting situation that I'm going to call upon him to explain.
I have an idea, but at some point I may well wind up running it for these animals, so I can't talk about it with them without spoiling it. So instead I'm going to come up with something live on air, because that's worked ever so well in the past.
Well, I had a thought about just now about your idea that you can't talk about without spoiling it.
Mm.
Is that possibly we could get you to record it, put it out completely unedited, just tack it onto the end of the show after the final credits, and we all agree not to listen to it.
That is not going to work unless he is the one editing this episode.
Well, no, we just don't bother editing it. So it's going to sound, dear listener, really bad.
I could do that. Yeah, or I could edit the episode as well. Who knows?
That works. Okay.
We take a turn around the block. Kev records his masterpiece. And
I can still try coming up with something on air.
All right, so...
Wow, that was inspiration striking in real time, folks.
Yeah.
Unless we obviously edit it later, then you can be dubious.
Yeah, if the vocal tone is completely out.
Real time, plus or minus a month. I think that's about our buffer at the moment.
Yeah, 1 month, 3 weeks to pod fade at this point, I think.
Okay.
Give or take.
Ages.
Yeah, we're fine. Quality's going to go downhill towards the end, but we're good. All right, so who wants to kick off? And Kevin is pointing accusingly at me. Fair enough.
All right. You did pull the pin on it.
Fine. Okay. I went in the least imaginative way possible for the Graboids Take Manhattan.
Shine on, you crazy Dun.
Okay. Pink Floyd riff. Not entirely getting it. But what I am imagining is the story of a group of young Graboids. I'm assuming here that everybody knows what the hell we're talking about. There will be a link to the movie Tremors in the show notes. And if I can, I will find links to the other movies and to the dimly remembered TV series, which I feel compelled to track down and watch because I only ever saw one episode of it and it seemed very something.
Maybe. Just watch Tremors. Yeah. It's really good. Would make a great double feature with Sliver.
Mm, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, you have a group of young Graboids having discovered the outside world, having discovered that there is more to life than tunneling under the ground and eating cows. They found a way out of their ancestral home and they've decided that they want to go to the big city. They want to see their name in lights. They want stardom.
This is the Muppets Take Manhattan Graboid version, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
I told you I went with the obvious one.
You did, yes.
Yeah.
So I'm imagining Muppets Take Manhattan. Sorry?
It worries me that that is the obvious one.
It's obvious.
You mean it isn't?
It's no, obvious to him.
It's yeah. obvious to you. This is part of the point yeah. of this podcast.
Okay.
That so, which is obvious to one person is never obvious to everyone else.
So in this case, we have these monsters. Possibly the reason that they're striking out is because the family unit has dissolved. Maybe they're fleeing some level of personal tragedy where their parents went on some kind of drunken rampage, along with crazy Uncle Stumpy, ended up being wiped out by the humans, and
maybe they've just eaten all the trailer trash.
Or maybe they've just filled up with trailer trash, but maybe the film crews coming through gave them the idea, but they've decided they're going to Manhattan, they've got their, they want to see their name in lights. You know, they're not thinking big screen, they're thinking the stage, they're thinking theatre.
Off-Broadway.
Off-Broadway. Possibly under Broadway, theatre.
Off around the back of Broadway.
Indeed. But their goal is stardom.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I see it as a combination of The Muppets Take Manhattan.
But with giant carnivorous underground worms.
Indeed.
As rendered by Jim Henson.
Yes. Also with elements of a... There was a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer thing I saw at one point, which did involve the classic story of naive person wants to do good, but sometimes gets taken advantage of. So you could have the whole thing.
Story.
Pardon?
The Sarah Palin story.
This is that apple box of yours that we're going to be taking away, so you cannot be...
Arch
people again.
Okay. So in that context, is Sarah Palin the naive one, or is that John McCain?
I'm thinking Sarah Palin doesn't have two warm brain cells to rub together to make a nice shiny thought.
There goes another sock puppet of our listener.
I'm seriously comfortable with that. But I'll shut up now. Okay, anyway, please proceed.
Speaking of sock ups.
Speaking of sock puppets, so proceed, apparently. So along the way, the Graboids hit town. They try to find an agent. They probably find an unscrupulous agent. They'll probably get talked into all sorts of things they're not really comfortable with, but they'll go along with because that's what it takes to get to stardom. You know, you've got to work your way up. You've got to start at the bottom. You pick up some sort of menial job. It could be waiting. It could be being a valet. It could be working in construction, which, let's face it, as Graboids, they're reasonably good. Along the way, I see them getting horribly, horribly tricked into participating in some kind of bank heist.
Yeah.
So probably the...
A great geek act you've got here, kid.
Indeed. I figure 2 or 3 sessions for this one. Probably the denouement is where the Graboids manage to turn the tables on the unscrupulous shyster of an agent and the people who he was working for in order to right the wrong that they inadvertently caused by helping mm-hmm. people break into a bank or rob a gold depository or something. And they finally get it, their name in lights. It might only be dinner theatre.
But it works.
But it works. I think that's the ending of the story when the...
Okay, so this is... Your players are, in fact, Graboids?
I think the players are Graboids, yeah.
Okay.
It's the story of Graboids hitting for the big city, seduced by big city values and by unscrupulous people, but winning through in the end to set their pseudopodia on the stage.
Excellent.
If at any time you suggest there's going to be a casting couch scene, I'm going to revoke your legs.
So noted, and no, I was not imagining a casting couch scene.
I thought I was going too far with the great geek act you got here, kid.
Tell exactly the same story, for which eventually you're going to be sectioned, by the way. And make it a tragedy, you know, I'm just imagining a Graboid trying to cross the street and getting hit by a bus and doing the whole Dustin Hoffman, I'm walking here, except it's more kind of sliding. I'm not sure I can substantiate that. But anyway,
I'm tragic here.
The tragic tale of Worms failing to make it in New York, and I don't even know.
Eventually being forced into a life of crime, being forced out of the bottom of a life of crime and just going completely nuts and eating everybody.
The other alternatives are even less tasteful than the casting couch thing that they find
themselves.
Well, they find themselves forced against their will to work in underground cinema and Japanese films and...
Well, this spiraled out of control.
That escalated quickly.
Well, that was a thing.
What system would you use for this?
Your version, not his.
I think you want something reasonably narrative.
Uh-huh.
Actually, of the stuff I've got sitting around at the moment, I would be tempted to use something like Quags, simply because of the complete hilarity of how on earth you fill in the who would play him or her in the movie.
Nice.
Stat on the box. That alone would be worth the price of admission.
Okay, so Graboid 1, Sheila LaBeouf. Graboid 2, maybe Gene Hackman.
Nice.
Kyle MacLachlan.
Nice.
Shai Hulud.
Yep.
Now I have a picture of
Graboid 3, Graboid. Anne Hathaway.
Absolutely. Yep.
I'm just...
Yeah, Anne Hathaway could sell this.
She could. I'm fairly confident of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just trying to recall, in Tremors, there were the gigantic, fuck-off, Shai Hulud-style worms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah.
But there were also the immature ones that were kind of like the mouses from...
That's the second one.
That's the second one.
That's the second life cycle.
Right. Okay, so they get limbs for a bit and are kind of chompy. Yes.
At some point, they get wings.
Okay, I'm clearly behind. Okay.
Okay, well, look,
these are not good movies.
I will see if I can track down all of the movies and the series. We'll hold... Festival. Tremors Fest, as it were.
Will there be booze?
I think there'll be a lot of booing. Oh, that was what you meant. Yeah, sure, why not?
These are very high quality B films. They embrace
the first
that.
One they, was. I'm not sure about the others.
Well, I do have sequel syndrome, but they are horror films where nobody carries idiot balls in order to justify the plot.
Yeah, the first
rare.
Tremors, I feel, is a B movie that failed upwards.
Yeah.
Because it has B movie written all over it, and yet as Kev says, nobody ever forgets something they've learned.
Yeah.
They might panic.
They don't do the dumb thing twice.
Yeah. People
often
die
because
through...
that is fatal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People die through panic. People die through lack of knowledge, but knowledge once learned stays around. And people die through sheer bad luck.
Mm. Also, do they use the things failing inconveniently? So much?
A little bit. There's a section, spoiler alert, where you've got the party split, as it were, and one side is using a CB radio to call the other side, which they cannot hear because there is a brass polisher running.
Right. Okay. No, that's cool. It's, I was just recalling that, you know, often that the victims in horror films suddenly find themselves in a situation where something breaks or they don't have something and it's all a bit convenient. I'm recalling the thing where something busts through the wall into the couple's rumpus room downstairs, yep. And it is completely lined with firearms.
Yeah, that would be the survivalist couple.
Yeah.
The husband of which played the father on Family Ties from recollection.
Oh, sweet.
With,
as a mental crossover, in my mental headcanon, that's the same guy. Second marriage.
Yeah.
Ah, okay, so... Alex moved away to college. The rest of the family couldn't take the solitude, broke up.
Mm.
He hooked up with somebody else, became a rabid survivalist, and ended up in this shithole burb.
Yeah.
That's
my headcanon.
Perfection, Nevada.
Nevada. Okay.
Why do I remember these things?
Because it's an awesome name for a town.
It's an awesome name for a town.
It's like
awesome
Truth
film.
Or Consequences, New Mexico.
You have to wonder how a town gets that kind of name.
I think the exact same way that it happened right here. People were sitting around thinking, what do we call it? Somebody comes up with Truth or Consequences, a few beers have been involved, and everybody thinks it's too funny not to do.
It was
by the
dare.
Time everybody
yep.
sobers up, there's a, the board's already been painted.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Official charter of incorporation has been signed and sent. And oh, what a hangover.
Okay.
So that's my idea. I don't know whether I would go to the extent of trying to encourage people to do actual musical numbers. It would be hilarious.
Come on, my baby. Come on, my honey. Come on, my ragtime girl. That, when this first got picked, that was the scene that flashed into my head. It was the frog doing that tap dance ad from the tap dance thing from the old Warner Brothers skit.
Is that where that's from? I only knew the Spaceballs version of it.
Which is close to what we're dealing with here.
Wait, that was an immature alien.
Chestburster.
Yeah, okay.
Chestburster.
Chestburster. Right. Yeah, took me a while to drag that image up.
Check, please.
Okay, so as the other person with an idea, I guess I'm next.
Apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my idea was I started with the movies and the movie and the movie and the movie and how the Graboids developed over time, because they went from slithery things to walking things to flying things. And kind of that got melded with Slither in my head, where the creatures getting massively more complicated, spreading over a wider area over time. And from there, my brain went naturally to War Against the Chitauri. Shout out to David Gerald, woo.
Finish that last book, you bastard.
Is he even still writing?
I don't know. I don't keep up with authors.
Fair enough.
Except just to be obnoxious occasionally.
Fair. So yeah, I had this idea of, okay, so the Graboids have covered the USA and have made the leap across to Manhattan Island. So the players are little islands of human/terrestrial life. And in my head, I decided that that was aggregating around zoos.
Okay.
As little lifeboats of terrestrial life, as it were. And I came up with two different scenarios of different lengths. So if you're doing a con game or a one shot, you're probably using something like Crags or Fae to just keep it punchy and a little bit funny, because this could be really dark.
Uh-huh.
If you want to go dark, you could go with Apocalypse World, thinking, okay, so you've got this shout out from the community around New York Zoo on the island saying, we're getting really pressured here, we can't hold. And your players are from, I don't know, Jersey. So the sworn enemies of New York Zoo, but it's humans and it's terrestrial life, so you need to break out and go save everybody. So your job is to go bring as much as you can back. That's your one shot. On a slightly longer thing, it's a day-to-day grind. That's definitely far more Apocalypse World of the world is trying to eat you, so you've got a couple of sessions of everything is normal but kind of fucked up. Noticing the biosphere change around you, your major challenge there being food. And maybe a long-term goal of finding ways to turn back this invasion and hold some ground in the long term.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
That's cool. Why zoos? I'm interested in...
Because it hit my brain and stuck.
Fair enough.
That was it.
So they go, why zoos? Why specific? Well,
pretty much set up to preserve terrestrial life forms from various areas. So if you're trying to preserve a tiny bubble of life, it seemed sensible to me.
Okay. I was wondering how they might be more defensible than other places. Because as far as Apocalyptica goes, things from Tremors or the Chitauri, and drawing a parallel between the insidious, organized conversion of the landscape that happens in War Against the Chitauri and slightly more haphazard, wacky, it's got wings now stuff from Tremors. I think that's really interesting. It could be, you're right, could get really dark.
It's very, a little on the dark side.
Really quickly. And
I'm getting a bit Ben at the end though.
I'm getting typecast so terribly. one of the very minor ideas that I had was just an image of people in like a completely dehydrated landscape on Manhattan Island, covered in skyscrapers, drifting sands everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But the skyscrapers are the last best defense. If you're not on the ground and you walk without rhythm, you aren't likely to be consumed by the things rising out of the sands and eating you. So the civilization is now strung out between the surviving skyscrapers.
I did see a few doctored photographs of changed cityscapes along those lines, with sort of rope bridges between skyscrapers. I think you had them, Craig, somewhere.
It sounds like the sort of thing that people in the CG Society and other other areas of the art world would like to do, yes.
Mm.
Mm. Cool.
The zoo idea is kind of neat. From a purely logical perspective.
Bloody stupid idea, yes.
Yeah, there is nothing inherent about a zoo, unless it turns out, and this would be hilarious, that Graboids are scared off by lion poop.
I've got one explanation. Possibly the Graboids they basically gravitate to monocultures.
Mm.
They are extremely specialised in the idea that, say, if there is a dense population of humans,
mm-hmm.
they produce or become human consuming machines. There's a bunch of cows that do cow conversion, but if you have a bunch of different species in a small area, they kind of just, it doesn't follow that they approach this area. There's no point for them to do so. So maybe that's a really crazy
too complex an upgrade required just to cope with the sheer variety.
Yeah, maybe it's just, maybe they just go, someone else can deal with that, and they storm off somewhere else.
Yep.
I mean, it's a biological adaptation. It makes as much sense as Pitch Black's ones, but...
they were cute, though.
Yeah, they were. They were. Yes. Sorry, Ben. but yeah, that's not the worst idea. And the idea of... I mean, you could make it a bit of a fable or a bit of a parable about monocultures and things like that.
Oh, yeah. I think I would want to steer away from badgering the witness, as it were.
Squeak.
The con game rescue attempt thing has... That's kind of neat, because, yeah, if you're going outside of this safe zone that maybe people don't 100% understand...
Mm.
Understand the reasons for, and trying to make that trek through New York, then yeah, possibly you've got the circumstance of, depending on how you want to tell the story, you've got people going into the city. They're seeing these rope bridges strung between buildings and wondering, why have we never heard from those guys?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Because they're fine and they don't have a CB radio.
Are they fine?
Ooh.
What if somebody investigates and finds out that some graboids have wings? And that's why we haven't heard from those guys.
Taking the tunnel!
Yeah.
Wedges out.
They found a nice high place that they were sure would be safe, and then the graboids grew wings.
Yeah.
Mm, or even worse, crossing it with Slither, and you have Night of the Creeps, which I'm pretty sure Slither was basically a remake of.
Highly likely.
Yeah, and you have worm brain zombies. Blah.
Okay, that would be creepy.
Yeah.
I
wasn't even thinking that, because there were a number of the other creatures in Slither taking on aspects of the things around them and rampant.
So you're doing the whole sort of biological upgrade,
change,
body horror kind of thing.
Yeah, maybe. Mm. I don't know.
We went to the far ends of the spectrum with this one, because your one is the complete destruction of...
possibly never sleep again horror, yeah.
Of the US, and mine is Wacky Show Tunes.
And I'd be coming up with ideas during the show, so...
Unload.
Yeah, okay. That
makes it your turn.
Bath.
Well, along with the one that I can't share because it would spoil people, the whole X-Tex Manhattan title conceit... from the 80s and everything else was taking a scary thing or a threat outside of its natural environment and dumping it in a really built up one because shenanigans. There was Jason Goes to Manhattan, really bad films.
Debbie Does Della.
No, that was a separate issue. But,
I
was thinking about things you could do with this and sparked off because Day After Ragnarok, the Fate Edition's just come out. And so the whole idea of a world being overrun with monsters and what would that do to New York kind of sounded like an interesting possibility. For those who haven't heard of it, this is a setting, a pulp post-apocalyptic setting where the Nazis summoned the Midgard Serpent, which was killed with a nuke and then collapsed across Western civilization in North Africa, ruining everything. And then venom and monsters started leaking from the body and the world became a very exciting place. So kind of taking that kind of thing and saying, what would be happening in New York because of that? The book's probably covered it. I haven't read it yet, but just Day After Ragnarok! Woo! So that would be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
The other idea that occurred to me was to mutiny completely and ignore the city and go with something like a naming pattern so that we have a spaceship called the Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Uh-huh.
And basically do Tremors in space. Some kind
of thing. Okay, now I'm imagining giant wormy things lunging up through deck plates. That doesn't quite work.
Well, I was imagining spin gravity colony ship.
Oh, I was thinking just something big enough that if it's one of those sleeper ships that has its own kind of ecosystem and atmosphere and things. And, you know, you can travel across different elements of geography and it takes a little while. And partway through the trip, you realize you've picked up something that's moved in and is starting to terraform sections of the environment.
So you've got human sleepsicles.
Yeah.
Surrounded by a graboid environment so that if they ever wake up, they're like, totally fucked.
Or just like Pandorum. You wake up partway through, you realize that in order to fix the ship, you need to go over there. There is where the carnivorous worms live, and they're starting to wreck the infrastructure. Also, the desert is spreading.
Worms, spaceships taking over. We are.
This is the shock trigger. It didn't even occur to me until just then, considering how much I love the game. I am ashamed.
Indeed.
So. Very different vibe, though. But yeah.
So taking something that you might be like a very efficient and organized, it's slightly sterile. We must go from the back of the ship to the front of the ship, and suddenly making it a jungle adventure.
Yeah.
That would be good way to spin out the entire thing. Yeah,
particularly considering they're unlikely to be the only things that have been introduced to the terrarium.
Yeah.
It's not going to be able to survive on their own.
Yeah.
Unless it's an all-graboid ecosphere, for want of a better word.
Back to pitch black again.
I wasn't thinking, like, a single animal. I was thinking, okay, these are all graboids. It's just you've got different shapes and sizes. And,
Samlong.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a story or series in novels, I can't remember who from, because I've just read reports, but it was basically people arrive on a planet and start arranging it to their whims, and there's this local critter that is really edible and really good for you, and they look after it. There's also these creatures that operate on a different time scale than everyone else that run in and eat these things and just destroy everything.
Legacy of Hero?
Legacy of Hero. I can't remember who wrote it right now, but...
We can figure it out.
Show notes.
But it turns out...
The fast critters are Grendels?
Yep.
Right, okay.
And it turns out that the very edible Samlon are the juveniles.
Yeah.
And the adults are their main predators. So you kill the adults and there's a massive population explosion, food for everyone, and you just think when those things pupate, everyone's going to die.
Oopsie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then their actual mum came down to have a word.
She was mad.
There's all sorts of things. Actually, that would be Pandorum or System Shock 2 or a couple of other things mixed with Foizone Jungle Adventure and giant worms and things. So that would be cool.
Yeah.
No, it would be quite crazy.
Play the shit out of that game.
Tremors in space!
Tremors
they
in
said
space.
It couldn't be done.
They said it should.
I don't think they did.
I did until about 10 minutes ago, but anyway.
Okay.
Mm.
And that leaves Ben and his excuses.
I'm right in thinking I'm the only person with a full-time job.
Right now? Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm on call this week and I'm starting work at 11 o'clock tomorrow on a Sunday. It's 11 p.m. unfortunately.
Aye.
Yeah, so my brain space is not uncontested at this point in time.
No, that's perfectly fair. Did any sort of half thoughts come up and immediately get
Other than the idea of basically going Manhattan skyline, boonk, in the middle of the setting of the Tremors movies, and that is pretty much...
Okay. Yeah.
So in that case, it would be Graboids take Las Vegas.
Pretty much, yeah.
But who would notice?
Sorry. And now we're back to my idea, except instead of going to Manhattan, they've gone to Vegas, and you've got a Graboid wearing a sparkly tuxedo as one of the door greeters.
Indeed. And they're
on stage.
You may remember me. I was in that movie with Kevin Bacon and Fred Ward.
Michael Goss was in there. Spangly bikini and giant feathers on their heads.
Oh, one, two, kick, pirouette, kick, kill.
They can come back to Conor McLaughlin and do a mashup with Showgirls.
Oh, that's just unsavory.
So were Showgirls.
Grim future of Tremors. There is only musical theatre.
Yes, and then at some point we probably have to do a shout out to Meet the Feebles.
Why?
Because
there are people who haven't seen it who should. It's educational.
Yes.
Lord of the Rings film? Same director.
Yeah.
You'll love it.
That director, also the director of Bad Taste, if you have not heard of this
movie. And Braindead, otherwise known as Dead Alive. Also educational.
Yes.
We make first-year university students watch these films from time to time because we're cruel and it amuses us.
Anyway.
Indeed. No, I just... Despite the idea seed being my idea, apparently that was as far as I was going to get.
Oh, that's fair. I think it's actually good for us from time to time to have a bit of a failure, or possibly an abject failure. There may be future cards that come up where we go, yeah, we got nothing. Yeah, and that in and of itself will be, I think, educational.
I think possibly the upshot of what we've been doing for how many weeks now of episodes and so forth is that even if you have half an idea, talking it around with a bunch of people and...
Kind of magically fills in.
Yeah, you get to discuss the notion, knock a few of the rough edges off. And you also find out what people find interesting. So if you've got a group that you want to go and play a game with, you can discover what or may not work.
It might be a bit difficult to talk about it with the group you intend to inflict this on. I mean, this is what Kevin's talking about. Even if we're able to ignore the information, it's still not going to have quite that, oh, that's where you were going with it.
Yeah.
Frisson. And it's coming to it completely cold.
Which means...
But then I'm one of the few people I know who actually has a thing about spoilers, so...
Well, spoilers can, I guess by the very nature of, it's inherent in the name, spoil the game.
Mm.
So for Yeah, if I was pitching my Graboids Take Manhattan idea to a group, I would probably pitch it with subterranean monsters heading to Broadway to seek their fame and fortune and get their name in lights, and just leave it there.
Yeah, I suppose there's the line between the pitch and the spoil. You've got to say something about the idea to actually get any gunnery interest. Or
You do need an elevator pitch, you're right.
Indeed, yeah. there's got to be something that starts off, and the idea of having that outside layer of, ooh, what's going in here, we must poke around, but then having internal notion, which is consistent, but expands, inverts, or, you know, generally enhances the initial sort of pitch. But yeah, how far do you go? How much of that do you put in the initial pitch? That's kind of the question, I think.
I personally, the various times I've tried it, have gone with, here is enough information that people can get an idea of how the world works and what their characters should be like.
Yeah.
I have on at least one occasion, and I think everybody here was in that game, done a game where the very first thing that I said in the pitch was, this is going to be a bait and switch game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mostly because I've been in the occasional bait and switch games, and they're very difficult to do in a way that doesn't really annoy the players. You know, and I've been one of those players, and occasionally I've been that GM with those annoyed players.
Specifically by bait and switch in a game, do you just expand?
Specific game I did for you guys was one where everybody's playing office workers.
And that was the character you had us make up.
Yeah, I had people make up office workers. I had people assign points to skills based on office worker stuff and told people straight out, this is a bait and switch game. I am not expecting you, you're not going to be spending 4 hours playing filing the role player or office the photocopying. That's not going to be happening. And the switch was,
although White Wolf is perfectly within their rights to steal those titles and run with them, that would be awesome.
And if they do, we get free games!
I don't want free games.
Even though apparently we don't want them. Right? Whatever, I tried, you heard me. Yeah, and the switch was, no, you're not office workers, you're secret agents! With memory wipes.
And your PC load letter skill became,
I think PC load letter was something to do with IT and hacking. I think long range forecasting was sniping.
Yeah.
And human relations was hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This sort of thing.
And that was the change up, because we're starting somewhere kind of normally unappealing. The change up was kind of interesting, and discovering what these things meant was part of the game. So yeah, no, that's it's actually not what I would have thought of immediately as a bait and switch game, because we, going into it, we expected something to change for a start.
That's fair.
Yeah, not just that you said there was something that was going to change, but starting off with characters who can do, you know, paper filing. That's kind of implicit. So the idea of, so what we're looking for is a way of preventing there being a disjunction between player expectation and what's actually the game's going to evolve into.
Yeah. I am sure there are games out there. I cannot think of any that I have played in just at the moment. And my mind's drawing a blank, which is odd because you frankly get these horror stories on things like RPGNet all the damn time of games. But yeah, it's essentially where you make up characters with one expectation. That's the expectation you've been given. And then when it comes to game time or a little bit in game time, that's not the game you're playing anymore. You make up Shadowrun characters and you've got your high-tech characters and you're cybered everything and you've got your $1 million worth of stuff. And then in the second session, World War Realm 3 occurs, the EMP devices go off, nothing electronic works anymore, and you're reduced to using sticks.
I was playing a Decker once where the Matrix was destroyed.
That would be annoying.
It was. Yeah.
Don't do that. Anyway, these are our sour grapes.
Yeah, I'll try to think of somewhere where game has changed so radically that I can't...
Listener,
yeah,
if you're out there, tell us about when that's happened to you, where you go into the game all naive and starry-eyed like a Graboid heading for Manhattan to make their fortune and see their name in lights and tread the boards, only to discover that you get dragged into the seedy underbelly of crime, and what you thought was this construction job leading you on your way to stardom was in fact you breaking into the First National Bank of Wall Street in order to rob the gold depository. We'd like to hear.
Also, we'd like to hear about situations where a bait and switch worked out well for you.
I have heard good stories about the Orpheus campaign for White Wolf, because that sets up a very specific circumstance where everyone's kind of on board. And then it's not so much that it's a huge bait and switch, so much as the entire premise that everyone is working on turns out not to be
be quite right. It's a bit like Fringe in that regard. And then every time that you peel an onion layer, you realise more of what's going on and oh crap.
Interesting.
All right.
So I think we've beaten this into the ground.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else.
Sweet. Thanks for joining us, listener.
See you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.
Next time on the Big Red Couch.
Prior nerdy commitments.
Excellent.
Awesome. This is going to be another one for which nobody has anything.
And now for something completely different. Hello, listeners. This is the unedited brain dump where I talk about the idea that I couldn't mention in the Graboids Take Manhattan show on the grounds that it was going to spoil everyone that I might play the game with. So, here we go. Hopefully this won't take very long. The core thing that occurred to me as the Graboids Take Manhattan thing, as I mentioned in the show, is taking a monster out of its natural habitat and putting it into a really built-up environment. That's the core idea. That's the new wrinkle that everyone has to deal with in some way. Whereas I'm about to start running a Kerberos Club game, which is going to be set in Victorian London. And you can't really get more iconically metropolitan than that, if not New York. So I'm curious as to how things are going to unfold when our heroes wind up dealing with a circumstance involving underground monstrosities and London. It's going to be fun. I have no idea how it's going to turn out. I have no idea how I'm even going to justify it, particularly. Although, there are some interesting possibilities there. I've just read most of Base Raiders by Ross Payton, and so the idea of there being things that have escaped from some kind of underground facility in Victorian London, there's plot seeds hanging off that everywhere. We have one of the characters in the campaign who has supernatural powers of comprehending and controlling buildings and architecture, and thus fighting creatures that are lurking in the walls of sewer tunnels or other built environments in London. There's all sorts of fun to be had there. So I guess what we're figuring out is I don't have a storyline around it as much as I could do. But the idea of worms coming out of the ground and shedding cobblestones is going to be an entertaining little visual riff, despite the fact that London is such a heavily built-up environment. And then there's the question of what if the fact that the worms don't make sense is actually part of the problem? What if they are somehow animate chunks of building or capable of tunneling through stone by becoming part of it, and they're kind of these conceptual monsters that take on whatever it is they travel through? All sorts of fun to be had. So I'm curious as to where it's going to go. I'm getting into the habit at the moment of not writing scenarios where I know what's going to happen ahead of time or even have much of a framework for it, because the players are so much better than I am in terms of coming up with exciting stuff. The main thing I figured out is that trying to predict them is just going to lead to madness. So, worms in London. That's the idea. This has been the unedited ranting of something I couldn't talk to the other players about. It may happen again in future, as the circumstance warrants. Otherwise, hope you enjoy the show. See you next time.
Want to hear more of our shenanigans? Then go to hoarde.net and click on the button that looks like a couch. The Big Red Couch is released under Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 Unported from creativecommons.org. All music on the show comes from the album Universal Fluff Theory by Krakatoa. Visit them at krakatoa.com or follow the link from our page. See you next time!